National Council of Jewish Women, Oral History 2, Selma Weiss and Howard Braun interviewing Leigh Kessler. It's May 2nd, 1995. We're on tape number 9. Would you please give us your address?
6516 Beacon Street, Pittsburgh. You ready for
our
start?
Yes, our subject today is going to be politics, and I'll ask you, where do you want to start?
All right, I'll tell you, I think the appropriate place to start is where I started in politics, and that was with AIPAC. AIPAC is American Israel Public Affairs Committee, and AIPAC is designated by the Organization of Jewish Organizations, which has appointed AIPAC as the sole lobby for the Jewish people, and it's called the Pro-Israel Lobby. I got involved in AIPAC, and I'm not sure the exact date, probably in the late 80s, 85, 86, and serendipity took a role in that my daughter-in-law was a graduate of the social work school. She had gone there on a scholarship provided by the Council of Jewish Federation, and her first job was with AIPAC. So she came to Pittsburgh as a fundraiser with Tom Dine, who was then head of AIPAC, and it was because of her that I attended the meeting and became interested in the fact that it was an important aspect of life that I had missed, but certainly should be a part of every activist Jew's involvement. And I became aware that most Jewish organizations had a political aspect to them, certainly all the Zionist organizations. But AIPAC had done an amazing job in influencing Congress to support Israel and influencing the administration to support Israel, so that I became aware of that, and it was through my involvement with AIPAC that I was first involved with Senator Spector. Senator Spector is Jewish and is probably one of the leading proponents of an American-Israel relationship. He's done a noble job in supporting that, and I've made it a point, therefore, to support him. Even though at the time, I must say, my politics and most Jewish politics was more liberal than his politics, I came to the conclusion that my bottom line in politics, and I think all Jewish bottom line in politics, must be what's good for the Jewish people, and particularly for Israel. So it was on that basis that I started to support Arlen Specter. My involvement with Arlen Specter has become rather close, and I've developed put in a lot of effort with a lot of support from the surrounding Jewish community into getting him reelected to the Senate. I've written op-ed pieces, I've raised money for him, I have going to Washington to lobby him, and as a matter of fact, been called by Jewish organizations on a regular basis when they need to have some contact with Arlen Specter. Arlen Specter ran for the Senate in 1991 against a person by the name of Lynn Yacob. It was interesting that we Jews have to be very aware of who's running for what office. And this, there was no better example than in this case. And I'd like to point it out because I think it definitely affects, should affect Jewish thinking, and certainly play an important role in Jewish communal activity. This Lynn Yacob, who was running against Specter, was a member of a board of directors of the Bryn Mawr Presbyterian Church. And clearly, this church was guilty of anti-Semitism as published in all the Philadelphia newspapers. Anti-Semitic feeling was evidenced in a couple of ways. They had pro-Nazi speakers They had PLO speakers, and they did everything in every way to indicate that they were anti-Jewish and anti-Israel, and yet this candidate refused under any circumstances to condemn this activity, even though she was on the board of directors of that church. So it was learning about this that we realized that we had to take a very Jewish position when it came to certain elections, and this was one. According to Morton Klein, who was the director of the Zionist Organization of America in Philadelphia at that time, the subsequent church program featured a call by the associate pastors of that church, Stephen Michie, for an end to USA to Israel, and further complained about, quote, Jewish control of Congress. So it's an awareness of these things that made it important that we did an important job in developing and protecting the Spector's position. I say that because I think that the Jews did a good job in this community in protecting his position, and I actually arranged for the Jewish Chronicle to publish an endorsement of Democrats for Spector, and we got a couple of hundred signatures that was published in the Jewish Chronicle. Incidentally, Spector won that election in Democratic County of Allegheny by 15,000 margin plurality.
It was a problem with women too, because they didn't want to vote.
That's right. He was having a problem with women because of his role in the Republican Party in quizzing this what was her name? The black person who complained against the person who was nominated by Bush for judge.
Clarence Thomas issue.
The Clarence Thomas issue. So that he was very vulnerable at that time. So his victory was a very important victory to keep this anti-Semite out of office. But this is what Jews have to do. But it was because of this sort of involvement that I then was asked by AIPAC to go and visit the new senator appointed by the governor of Pennsylvania to fill John Hines's chair. And I should mention that I was also involved with John Hines, that John Hines was a strong supporter for many years in office of the Jewish community and certainly of Israel. However, he had a falling out with Israel over the subject of some event, I don't remember the specific event, that had to do with the Prime Minister of Israel's remarks. Shamir was the Prime Minister at that time, and Hines took umbrage at his remarks and was personally, felt that he was personally antagonistic to Shamir. So it took a great deal of selling, and Desi Cohn and I particularly were involved and trying to assuage Hines' hostility, and we did get him to come around to see that this was a minor issue and we shouldn't let one man decide the issue of the advantage of the United States supporting Israel. But nonetheless, when Hines was killed, the governor of Pennsylvania then appointed a senator in his place. His name was Harris Wofford. I was asked to see Harris Wofford on behalf of the Jewish community, and I did go to see him, had a 20-minute appointment, as was the usual, assigned to me to discuss with him what I wanted to lobby him on, which was then, of course, the big issue which had come into the public eye, and that was the question of settlements in the so-called occupied territories outside of Israel, that is the West Bank and Gaza. It was under those circumstances that I first met this man. I found him to be extremely intelligent, engaging, charming, and the 20 minutes that we had, that had been assigned to me, turned out to be an hour and a half. And the reason was, he looked me in the eye and he said, Dr. Kessler, if you have the time, I would love for you to sit here and educate me on the subject of the settlements. Settlements was a big issue at the time. We had a Republican administration. The Republican administration was raising the devil about it, and therefore it was nice to have a colleague and an ally like Senator Harris Wofford. So at the end of that conversation, I then said to him, Senator, and it turned out that Wofford had been to Israel as a child. His parents were worldly people. They had gone there as Christians to the Holy Land, and they had great respect for the Jewish people and for Israel, and he became a substantial supporter. So when he had to run after 3 years for his first official elected term, he called me and asked me if I would support him, which I did. And that was really my first major involvement in organizing or introducing a new politician into this area, into the Jewish community. It turned out that we made a specific campaign to introduce him, and in so doing we were able to have substantial fundraising and substantial acknowledgement of the Jewish community of this man. He turned out to be a great success for the Jewish community. He ran a second time, was not re-elected, but he was replaced by the current senator, Rick Santorum. Rick Santorum, on the other hand, was elected to Congress just about the time that Wofford was elected to the Senate. He was elected from a district in the southern part of Pittsburgh. And Rick Santorum wanted very much to be a broad-based senator, but congressman, having rather broad political views. And for that reason, I took him on as a responsibility and started to support him. I got a call one day from headquarters at APAC, and they said, we would love to have, he's going to be an activist, and we would love to have him recognize the importance of Israel in the coming months. Could you do something to raise money and get him to go to Israel? And I did. I raised $3,600, and we sent him to Israel. He went to Israel on a mission, as we call them, arranged for by the Jewish community. And when he was in Israel, he sat down and wrote one of the most beautiful letters that I've ever received, thanking me for making that opportunity available to him. He then became one of the major young Turk supporters of the Israeli-American relationship at that time. However, he decided to run for Senate. And when he did, he called me and said, would you support me for the Senate? And I said, no, I will not support you because we have a basic principle in our community, that is the Jewish community, we are loyal. And we will remain loyal to the current senator since we have no reason to reject him. He said, I understand that very well. And I said, furthermore, as far as I can gather from the Jewish community and the people I talk to, is you're much too conservative. You're against abortion, you're not pro-choice, you believe in school prayer, which we tend not to support, and so on and so forth. He said, Leib, I am what I am. You have to accept me as I am, and I respect your wishes in the matter, and I won't pursue you further on this subject. However, he did win the election, and Wofford was defeated, and then he called again and said, now will you support me? And I said, yes. So just a few weeks ago, as a matter of fact, we had a fundraiser for him at the Concordia Club, and I helped arrange it. We had a nice turnout, about 40 to 50 Jewish people. And we raised about $10,000 to help pay off his campaign debt. So pretty much this is an important aspect of how Jews must function. And I bring it up because many Jews don't feel that they have a responsibility. But believe me when I tell the history of this is that a about 50% of the money raised in senatorial campaigns today comes from Jewish pockets. And it isn't just by chance that a month ago, 93 senators endorsed a letter to the President of the United States stating that they consider Jerusalem to be the eternal capital of Israel. It isn't because those 93 senators all love Jews. It's because those 93 senators have been educated, they've been helped, and they've been proselytized into pursuing this kind. And this is what Jews have to do. So that's why I want to make it an important part of Jewish, of our history in Pittsburgh. What else have we done? I've introduced Congressman Mezvinsky to the Jewish community. I've introduced Sandra Newman, who's run for judge in the eastern part of the state, to the Pittsburgh Jewish community. I've introduced the current governor to the Jewish community, Governor Ridge. That's another story. Governor Ridge was a congressman from Erie, and he was a supporter in Congress for Israeli-American relationships. And what do I mean by supporter? The support means that he voted for the foreign aid bill. The foreign aid bills over the past dozen years have included $3 billion in grants and allocations of one sort or another, both military and non-military, for Israel. And he's been a steadfast supporter in his years. So we invited him here as a guest speaker at one time. And at that time, which I think was the early 90s, he said to me that he was thinking of running for governor of the state, but I support him. And I said, absolutely I will. So that when he announced officially, I had a reception for him in my home, and he was elected governor. So this is an important aspect of my life in Pittsburgh. I've been involved with Bill Coyne, who is our congressman from Pittsburgh proper. I must say a little story about this. I was called by a Jewish person who wanted to run for Congress. And he said to me, after all, I'm Jewish, why won't the Jewish community support me? And I pointed out to him that the decision is not based on religion or ethnic background, but is based on loyalty and support for the ideology of the relationship between Jews and the Jewish community. So Bill Coyne was a classic example. This fellow did withdraw from the race based on my urging. Another example recently has been a fellow by the name of Ron Klink, who used to be a television anchor in Pittsburgh. He decided to run for the Congress. I went to see him personally in Newcastle. He's not from this district. And he received me warmly, and I told him the purpose of my visit was to influence him on the subject of Israel and the United States relationship, the cooperative arrangements we have militarily, and particularly the situation which had to do with the settlements. Over the past few years, this has been a major issue because the Republicans in Bush particularly made it a big issue. And he invited me to lunch. We talked for about an hour. I gave him a lecture on the settlements. I wrote a piece, an op-ed piece about it, and I gave him a copy of that, and he indicated to me that he was certainly understanding, but he came from a district that was very much against foreign aid. I just point out how much it is important that we do support the political movement. Even though he came from that district, I said to him that what are you going to tell your constituents when you come to a town meeting and they get up and say, why are you supporting foreign aid and particularly $3 billion for those Jews? And he says, I consider it my responsibility to educate my constituents, and I will certainly do that. Well, to make a long story short, went to Congress in the first year, he did not vote for foreign aid. I went to see him about that, and I said, you promised me that you were going to do it. He said, I'm not voting for it because I'm against it. I'm in favor of it. But I'm not voting for it because they will not do what I want them to do, and that's reduce the deficit. And he said, when and if the other congressmen agree to reduce the deficit, I will then vote for foreign aid. I'm just voting as a matter of principle. It's going to, foreign aid is going to pass. It doesn't need my vote. And when it comes to a critical vote, you can be sure that you can count on me. He had as an assistant at that time a young, very nice young lady. First name was Megan. I can't remember the second name. And I called her on a telephone when I got back to Pittsburgh, and I said, I'm sorry I missed you, but tell me what cooks with Ron Quink. And she said, Dr. Kessler, I've talked to him every day on this issue, but he's absolutely set that he's not going to vote for foreign aid until we learn how to curb the deficit, because that's what he's promised his constituents. Well, nonetheless, that was when he was first elected. He's run for a second time, and he now votes for foreign aid. I kept punching away at it. Others in the Jewish community kept punching away at it. We raised money for it to pay off some of his campaign debts. And in this last major vote on foreign aid this past year, he voted positively. So this is an example, another example of how the Jews must be involved. We have a basic principle that I tell everybody and everybody should know, is that all politics is local. What goes on here in the Jewish community and what goes on in the community at large eventually expands to the national community. Politicians that you support for council now will eventually become congressmen and eventually become senators, and so on as the story goes. So we're very fortunate in Pittsburgh because we've had a Jewish mayor. We now have a Mayor Murphy, who is not Jewish, Irish, but a strong supporter of the Jewish community. And we have a superb commissioner, Allegheny County Commissioner Tom Forrester, who is 100% behind the Jewish community. He's a friend, and I'm a supporter. And this is what it takes. Now, I'm not the only one. Fortunately, there are maybe 20 or 30 other Jews in the community like myself who take this attitude, who will go out and beg, borrow, and steal money for their campaign, and this is what has to be done. But with regard particularly to some of the significant politics of the time, and particularly with regard to the current administration and the importance of AIPAC in dealing with the administration and the Congress, I would like to point out one of the most critical issues of our day, and that was in 1991, when Bush and Baker were trying to arrange a peace settlement between the PLO, the Palestinians, and Israel. It became a very complicated issue because the Palestinians complained that if Israel really wanted peace, then why were they building settlements on what was their territory? Their territory being the occupied lands of Judea and Samaria, captured in the 73 war, now I forget, which was the fourth war that the Jews were in order to protect themselves against being pushed into the sea. And this land which they took over, I then wrote a long op-ed piece, which should become part of the record because it pretty much talks about the issues of that time. And that was dated 1992. Now I asked, would you like a copy of this for the record rather than my reading?
No, I'll read it. I'll take it.
All right. So I'll give you this. It's called Why Bush Should Change His Mind, or Why Are Settlements an Issue? To point out how serious, and here's another thing that can go into the record, and that's having to do with this question of that person running for office who we felt was clearly anti-Semitic, and I will put that into the record. Now, AIPAC is an important organization of which I'm on the, have been on the executive committee, national executive committee. It so happened that August of 1991, issues came to a head with regard to settlements, which became rather adamant. And I would like to report on what actually happened during that period of time with regard to the issue of loan guarantees. Loan guarantees were an important issue for Israel because the administration took great credit to its success in getting Jews of Russia freed and the choice of migrating to Israel and a certain number to the United States. This came pretty much to a head in 1990, and this put a tremendous burden on the state of Israel because, in effect, it said that over a period of 4 or 5 years, it was likely that there were going to be 1 million new immigrants into Israel. This took a lot of money and a lot of rebuilding of infrastructure. Israel certainly couldn't do it alone. It would be like saying that the United States was going to absorb within a period of a couple of years the entire country of France. That's the analogy. So Israel came up with a proposal that they would not ask for handouts, but they would ask for loan guarantees. Loan guarantees simply means that they would be lent the money at very low interest rate because it would be guaranteed by the United States. But their accountants and our accountants, when I say accountants, I mean economists, figured that with the growth in national productivity due to the immigration, they expected a growth rate of gross domestic product to go to 9% within 2 or 3 years after this started, and they calculated that it would be possible to pay back these loans. There was nothing in the figures or the facts that in any way contradicted this. However, Bush decided to use this issue to use the issue of the building of Jewish settlements in the occupied territories as a limit to his, as a control over the Israeli request for settlement. So it had been generally expected that in the spring of 1991, the Congress was going to bring up this issue of loan guarantees. And here's what happened. Bush and Baker came to the leaders of the Jewish community of Israel and the United States and the leading congressmen and said, listen, we have a problem trying to get this peace business going, and we need, therefore, to have you hold off on this issue. We were skeptical because we knew that the Palestinians were really not raising the issue as much as Bush claimed that they were. And this was certainly not the issue because we didn't have settlements in the occupied territories in all those years when they weren't occupied territories and were in the hands of the Jordanians, and yet nobody, the Palestinians are not willing to sit down and negotiate peace. So we figured it was a red herring, but nonetheless, the Jewish community used their influence in Congress and got Congress to delay the vote. It was delayed, therefore, until the fall. We made a mistake, and I just want to refer to this. The mistake that AIPAC and the Jewish community made was when we said we would be willing to ask our leaders in Congress to delay the vote, we didn't ask for a guarantee that the delay would be respected with regard to the length of the delay. And the delay was supposed to be until the fall. Here's then what happened.
Okay, let's stop.